And today I want to talk to you about some who will lose their faith because they've abandoned truth. I want you to listen to me today. 2 Timothy 4:6 through 8, Paul says, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come." Do you know that you have a departure date? You're not going to be in this situation forever. And right now, there is a certain relationship that you can have with God. But after your departure date, it will be set in stone. In other words, once you will die, then judgment happens. And God's judgment is based upon this one thing. Do you know Jesus or not? Do you trust in Jesus or do you not? Paul said, "My departure date has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course, and here it is. I have kept the faith." Why did he say that? Because it's easy to abandon the faith. He was saying that because in the midst of all kinds of Christians in his life, there were some who were abandoning the faith, who were giving up the faith. I want you to know today that your faith, your belief in God, your trust in God is being attacked. Right now, Satan is going out in his best effort, desperate to remove faith from your heart, to rob you of your relationship with God. And listen, he's clever, he's determined, he's desperate. He wants to rob you of your faith. Now, I know what some of you are thinking this morning. I would never abandon my faith, but I would take you once again to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Paul talks for a little while about the children of Israel, how God led them out of Egypt by miraculous events. He led them across the Red Sea by miraculous events. He led them to victory over enemies by miraculous events. He fed them by miraculous events. And yet, many of the people who were right there crossing the Red Sea on dry ground whined and complained and wanted to go back to Egypt. He was saying that because in verse 11, he says, "Now these things happened to them as an example for us, and they were written for our instructions, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed that he does not fall." I am here today to help you take heed of your life and of your faith so that you don't get sucked in to the trick of the enemy, so you don't fall for the lie of the devil, so you don't give in to the temptation that is coming your way, so that while people around you may abandon their faith, you're the one who stands strong. You're the one who won't quit when it gets tough to be a Christian. You're the one who won't give in when it's going to cost you to be a Christian. You're the one who's going to be an example to those around you. Come on, somebody say amen. Yes. Hallelujah. People are abandoning their faith. Make no mistake about it. There are many more who are going to abandon their faith. Like I've said before, there are famous pastors who've decided that God's not real, and they have a public platform now in which they say all of the stuff I preached was fake and not real, and I don't believe in it anymore. There are famous worship leaders and people of Christian artists, musical artists, who are now saying they don't believe in God anymore, and it was all fake and it was all a lie. They have fallen for the trap. They have abandoned their faith, whether it's because of trial, questions, tribulation, or believing the lie, whatever it is, they have abandoned their faith. Make no mistake about it, you're going to see more people abandon their faith. Not just the famous ones, but people in your own family and people in your own church who are going to decide that, well, I did that church thing for a while, and you know, it was really just a man-made thing. I don't really know if I believe in God anymore. And they're going to abandon their faith, and they need us. They need you. You know what they need from you? They don't necessarily need a sermon or a finger in their face. They need to see somebody who refuses to quit, who refuses to lay down their faith, who stands firm in the midst of it all. They need to see you keep the faith. You can endure. You can fight the good fight. You can finish the course. You can keep the faith. While others around you may fall, you can stand firm to the end. And the Bible says, "There is henceforth laid up for you a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, our righteous judge, shall give to me." One day God's going to say to you, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Hallelujah. So I'm here today to help you be aware, to know the truth, to live in the truth. Truth. You know, faith is really just the belief in God and what he says. That's what faith is. It's belief that there's a God, and I believe what he has said about life. It's to submit to the truth that God has declared. It's to live in the truth that God has declared. Now, when you became a Christian, you were born again. The truth came upon you, and it felt something like this. You knew by conviction, you knew that you were a sinner and that you couldn't save yourself. That's part of becoming a Christian, is that you realize you can't save you. And then you knew in that moment that there's an impending problem with that, that you may not have even understood hell or judgment, but you knew you couldn't stay in that condition. You knew something had to change. And number three, you knew Jesus was the only way, the truth, and the life. And so you turned to him and you asked him to be your Savior. He gave you the truth, you submitted to it, and you walked in it, and he saved you. Are you catching that today? This is important. John 18, 37 through 38, Pilate said to him, "So, you are a king." And Jesus answered, "You say correctly that I am a king. For this I have been born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." And Pilate said to him, the sentence that we're hearing today throughout our culture, what is truth? What is truth? Pilate, even back in his day, understood the mindset that you can just make truth whatever you want it to be. You can just decide that truth is what I want it to be, and truth can be whatever you want it to be. Finding real truth is hard these days. I used to think the news gave us the truth, but that's not true anymore, is it? I used to think that the courts gave us the truth, but we can't rely on them anymore, can we? I've come to the conclusion that no man gives the whole, complete, comprehensive truth, because we don't know it. At best, we can only give our perspective on it. That's the best we can do. And if we're being honest, that's all we've got. You can have three people witness a car crash, and every one of them will tell a different story. Only God knows the truth, right? Truth. Let's talk about what truth really is. Truth, from our perspective, is this. Truth exists outside of us. You know, if I do this, the truth is I just clap my hands. And that truth exists whether I want to change it or not. If I say I didn't clap my hands, what is that? That's a lie, isn't it? Because I can't change truth. Truth exists apart from me. We can be in alignment with truth. We can be out of alignment, in which we don't know any better, and that's when we're mistaken. Or we can be out of alignment with truth. We know it, and we just say something different, and that's when we're lying, right? But we cannot change things just because we say them. For instance, if I tell you today that I'm 7 foot tall, I am either mistaken or I'm lying. One of the two. I cannot change my height simply by saying it. That is truth from our perspective. We can come into alignment with it, or we can be mistaken or lie. Truth from God's perspective is this. God is truth. Truth does not exist outside of God, but it exists inside of God. I want you to open your spiritual ears, because you need to get this. When God says it, it becomes the truth. Let's imagine that there's no reality. How does a reality come into being? God speaks it. There was no light, and God said, "Let there be light," and that is truth. God didn't see the light and then align himself with it. No, he spoke the light, and it became true. Are you getting what I'm saying? If God says I'm 7 foot tall, you know what's going to happen? I will immediately be 7 foot tall. God cannot lie, amen? Numbers 23:19, God is not a man that he should lie. What does that mean? That means that you and I, when we speak something, it can be out of alignment with the truth. But if God says it, it becomes reality. God is truth. I hope you're catching this today, because we're going somewhere. Hebrews 6:18, it is impossible for God to lie. Why? Because if he speaks it, it comes to pass. Amen? Titus 1:2, in the hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised a long time ago. God is a truth teller, because when he speaks it, it becomes reality. Are you catching this today? That ought to do something for you when you start reading his word and knowing that God can't lie. If he said it, it's got to come to pass. Amen? Hallelujah. God cannot lie, because whatever he says comes to truth. This is where truth comes from. He spoke the universe into existence. You and I arrived and there was a lot of things that already existed. When I got here, gravity existed. I didn't make gravity real by believing in it or saying it. It existed apart from me. And if I don't want to believe in gravity and I go to the top of a building and I jump off, you know what gravity is going to do to me? It's going to drag me to the ground and splat my unbelieving self right on the pavement below, because I can't change truth by declaring it. But when we got here, we came into a reality that the God who speaks truth already made. The world is what God says it is, no matter what you say it is. That's why the Bible says in Romans 3:4, if every man is a liar, God is still true. Oh, glory be to the name of the Lord. What is truth? The word of God is truth. The Bible is the infallible and reliable truth of the word of God. What is truth? Jesus is truth. The Bible says of Jesus that he is the word who became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Hallelujah. Jesus wasn't just saying, my testimony about myself is true. I'm aligning myself with truth. No, he was saying, I am truth. If I say it, it is. I am truth. So how can you know the truth today? How can you know the truth today? Jesus said to the Jews who believed in him, if you continue in my word, then you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Let me dig that just a little bit for you. He said, if you continue in my what? In my word. Say word. Word. The spoken reality of God. If you walk in the spoken reality that God has said, then you are my disciple, and you'll know the truth. And the truth will set you free. Now let's flip the coin. Because if you don't walk in his word, you walk in another word. And anything that's not God's word is a lie. And if you're walking in a lie, you don't know the truth. And you are not set free. And Jesus said it like this. You know, anytime you read the Bible, the New Testament is talking about light and darkness. It's talking about truth and lies. That's what it means. When you came into light, oh, Pastor Cain, you got to sing it sometime for us. I saw the light. I was thinking about that song and how it's right on the money. I'm like, some of the old timers had the best songs, right? I saw the light. You know what that means? That means one day the Holy Spirit came over me and he showed me the truth. I saw it. It became apparent to me. I saw the light. What we need to know today is that there is an opposite to the truth of the word of God. And that is, if you walk in a lie, you're living in darkness. You don't see what's real. You don't see what's true. You're still subject to the truth that God has declared, but you don't know it. And you're living within a lie. And that's where many people are today. How can you know the truth? The evidence can fool you. Be careful. You know, in a practical sense in our world, the way you know the truth is we try to look at the evidence. But sometimes the evidence points in a direction that wasn't real. It fooled you. It tricked you. Or we try to rely on witnesses, and sometimes witnesses just flat out lie. Or sometimes witnesses just are mistaken. Sometimes I swear I picked that thing up and put it away, and I tell my wife, I put my foot down. No, I know I put that thing away. And then she goes and picks it up where I didn't get it and put it away. I wasn't trying to lie. I just was mistaken, Stephen, and that happens a lot in my life, you know. The truth is, you can't rely on the evidence or on witnesses. The way we know the truth is that the Holy Spirit turns the light on in our life. If you're not getting conviction or revelation, that is when you're reading the word, you're hearing the word, you're worshiping God, and all of a sudden the truth comes to you. He turns the light on, and something deep within you brings things to life within you. If you're not getting that, you need to, child of God. You need to get that, because that is how the truth is revealed to you. Oh, you need the word revealed to you, shined down upon you. I like to say it like this, you know, if If you were blind and somebody took you by the hand to a sunset and tried to describe the sunset in words, they could do the best they could, and they'd never do what would happen if God just opened your eyes and you could see it. In a split second, a million words couldn't fulfill what you could see with your eyes. You just take in everything instantly. And revelation is like that. I can talk all day long, but when God turns the light on, all of a sudden you see everything clearly. You know the truth. Then you can walk in the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Hallelujah. Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. We must learn to walk in the light of God's word. Why is this so important? Why does this matter? What does this have to do with an attack upon my faith? John 11, 9 through 10. Anyone who walks in the day does not stumble because he sees the light. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him. What in the world does this have to do with an attack on my faith? I'll tell you what, because Satan is trying to get you to walk in darkness. He's trying to get you to believe a lie. He's trying to get you to walk in a lie. But Jesus came so that you could walk in the light of truth. Many people who've gone to church, many people worshiped with us right by our sides. They were right there with us. They served God. They worshiped God with us. They were right there with us. They walked across the Red Sea, so to speak, with us, and yet they have lost their faith in God. They've been fooled into believing a lie. Adam and Eve were given the truth by God. Satan gave them a lie. They believed the lie. They submitted to and walked in the reality of the lie of Satan. Satan said, you shall not surely die. God had already said, if you eat the tree in that day, you shall surely die. Satan said, you shall not surely die. He spoke an alternate reality, and they walked in that alternate reality instead of the truth of God's word, and they suffered exactly what God has said. I came to tell somebody, you think you can create your own world and your own truth and you can do it your own way? There's coming a day of reckoning where all of the responsibility is coming down upon us, because you cannot escape the consequences of the real truth. I'm going to talk to you today about the great deceptions that are coming. The first one is my truth. This is a phrase you hear a lot these days. This is my truth. It means you can create your own version of life. You can create your own truth of life. Romans 3:4 once again says, let God be found true, though every man be found a liar. What that means is that you and I can say whatever we want to say. We can believe whatever we want to believe, but what God has said is true. Are you still with me today? Oh, this is the lie that Satan wants to bring you. You can create your own version of life. Just say it. Say who you want to be. Say what you want to do. Say who you're going to, what you're going to accomplish. And if you just say it, then it's a reality. And you know, like if I could say, well, you know, I'm rich and I'm good looking, and I can just speak whatever I want to speak, and it's my reality and my truth, and I live in. You know what? I can't spend that kind of money. My looks hadn't changed one bit because I can't speak truth. And I want you to notice, it's about words. God speaks a truth reality, right? Reality comes when he speaks, and a falsification, an antichrist mindset, if you will, would be for you to speak a reality into existence. Are you with me so far? When we speak things that don't line up with the word of God, and we try to make life be what we want it to be, what we do is we set ourselves on God's throne, and we start declaring like God declares, and we think we're making truth. What we're making is a lie. And we must submit ourselves to the truth of God's word. You can't create your own reality. We have things these days. I'll give you a couple of them. One of them is a new phrase called birthing person. You know why they don't call them mothers anymore? But they call them birthing persons. You know why? Because it is the lie that a man can have a baby too. A man can have a baby too. There were headlines maybe a couple years ago of the first man that had a baby. And it wasn't really a man. It was someone who was born a woman and then declared themselves a man and then got pregnant and had a baby. And because he had declared, or she had declared herself a man, that made her a real man. And so a man had a baby. The first man that had a baby. Talk about speaking things that are not. Declaring your own reality. This is one example. I'll give you another one. I can create my own, not only my own reality, I can create my own morality. Did you know that there is a group today called NAMBLA, the North American Man-Boy Love Association, which is a group of grown men who believe they have a right to have sexual relations with young, underage boys? There is another group called MAP that's a term being used now. It's called Minor Attracted Persons. These are grown-ups who are supposedly sexually attracted to underage people, and they feel like they have the right to do whatever they want to do. I can create my own reality. If my flesh wants to do it, I can just do it, and you can't tell me it's wrong. I'm going to speak my own reality. I'm going to speak my own morality. Let me promise you again, every man can declare whatever he wants. He can be a liar, but God's word is true. Come on, somebody. Don't get caught up in the mindset that you get to create things out of life. You know, if God said 2 + 2 = 4, you can deny that all you want. You're not changing it. You'd be better off to know the truth that God has declared. Submit to the truth. Walk in the truth and let the truth set you free. Great deception number one is that you can create your own truth. Deception number two is that the Bible is tainted. I'm hearing that a lot these days. The Bible is written by men, and there's false things in it, and that we don't have the original documentation, and it's not reliable. Some of it may be true, but enough of it's not. I'm hearing Christians, pastors say today that the Bible is not the inerrant word of God. And what they get to do when they do that is take their little crayon and scratch out the things they don't want and go with the things that they do want. And they're declaring or making their own word of God. They're making their own word of God. Why does this matter? John 17:17, Jesus said, sanctify them in the truth, for your word is truth. Do you know that if you don't have truth in some form like the scriptures, then everybody does whatever they feel is right in their own eyes? That's what politics looks like, doesn't it? Everybody doing what they think is right. And what do we get out of that? A bunch of screaming and yelling and fighting and arguing and pointing the finger at each other. It gets us nowhere because we need something bigger than us. We need the Bible. Yes, they say the original manuscripts are nowhere to be found. But do you know we have thousands of copies of the manuscripts that align with each other? Do you know that some of the most famous works that you have read in high school don't have the original manuscripts? Some of them have just a handful of copies, and they're taught to you as history. The Bible has thousands. I believe there are 26,000 pieces or copies of Scripture, even though we don't have the original manuscript. And some people would say, you know, I don't believe that because it was written by a man and you don't have the original manuscripts. And I would say, well, what do you believe? Well, I believe the theory of evolution. Oh, you believe the Bible written by a man, huh? You believe your Bible written by Charles Darwin. You believe that. It's coming more and more what we're seeing. The translations of the Bible are inaccurate. People just had an agenda. It's a book written by men. Why are they trying to tear apart the Bible? Why don't they just ignore it and move on? You want to know why? Because men love darkness and they don't want to see the light. They know it's the truth deep down and they don't want any part of it. And so they want it gone. They want it destroyed and out of here. For if they can tear apart the word, they can tear apart reality. Oh, but can I tell you something? God's word will stand forever. Oh, not one dot or one cross is going to be removed from the word of God. Hallelujah. Lie number one, you can create your own truth. Lie number two, the Bible is tainted. It's not real. Lie number three, love accepts everything. If you love me, you must not only accept me, you must accept my declared truth and morality. If you love me, you got to accept and believe everything like I do. And if you don't, I'm cutting you out of my life. I can't tell you how many people on Facebook have declared, if you don't agree with me, remove me as a friend from Facebook. And I've removed a couple people. Okay. You don't want me to, you know, whatever it is. I don't have to agree with you. I'm smart enough to know that I don't know everything. And I'm smart enough to know that you don't either. And that only God should be sitting on the throne. Come on, somebody. Love does not accept anything and everything. Oh, if you disagree with me, you hate me. And I hate you. You're the enemy. Why is that? Let me tell you what the Bible says about real love. 1 Corinthians 13:6. Love does not rejoice in unrighteousness. Oh, you need to get that in your head. Corinthians 13, that's the scripture where we always read at weddings, you know, love is patient, love is kind, love is all this stuff. Dig in there a little bit because there's this nugget of a truth. Love does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rather, go home and read it yourself, rejoices in the truth. What is it saying? Oh, when you go to this false reality where people have lied, they have told things they shouldn't say, they're doing things against God's word, and you think it's love in there, love's not in there bouncing around, not God's love. Love is over here rejoicing in the truth. It doesn't rejoice in unrighteousness, it rejoices in the truth. Hallelujah. Come on, love aligns itself with the declared truth of the word of God. It's not that we don't love you because we disagree with you. We do love you. It's just that we're living in the truth of God's word. And I'm sorry, I don't want to hurt people's feelings. I'm not in the business of trying to offend anybody. But the Bible says even of Jesus that people were offended at him. He came to declare the truth according to God's word. And because he did, people were offended at him. Lie number one, you can create whatever truth you want. Lie number two, the Bible is fake, it's tainted. Lie number three, love accepts everyone. Lie number four, finally today, the crowd must be right. I mean, if everybody's doing it, I mean, it must be right. I mean, we have that mindset. Have you noticed there's tests and studies that have been done when you put people in a room and you have one person that doesn't know what's going on and everybody else knows to go in a certain direction. That one person has a choice. Do I do what I know is the right thing, or do I just go with the crowd? And it is almost always the case that we go with the crowd. We just tend to, we want the safety. We think to ourselves, well, it's safe with the crowd. We think to ourselves, well, these are intelligent, logical people. So if there's so many of them that believe this, I might be wrong. I might be wrong. And so we get tempted to just go with the flow. And people say things like this, times change. We got to change with the times. Church, there's some things that we can change that go with the times. I mean, we have a different language than we did back, you know, in my day. And people wear different clothes. There's different styles of music. But when it comes to the truth of the word of God, we don't change the word of God to fit the times. And sometimes the times we live in really fit God's word well. And other times they are real far away from the word of God. And when you're a Christian in the times where they fit well, it's comfortable to live there. We've kind of been there for 50, 100 years here in America. It's kind of comfortable to live there. But we're coming into a time where they're making it, culture is making it uncomfortable. Because you're going to be one of the few who believes God's word when everybody else believes something different. And you've got to make a choice. You've got to be willing to stand up and say, if everybody goes left, I'm going with God. If everybody abandons God, I'm going with God. Romans 12:2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Let the word of God guide your mind. Come on, are you with me today? You've got to be willing. Decide today. That when the test comes at work, I'm going to be the only one. If I'm the only one standing on God's word, I'm standing by myself. If they laugh at me, decide today, they can just laugh at me because I'm standing on God's word. It's his reality, not mine. Decide today that when you are in a situation where they might even physically harm you, you're going to do what God's word says. I believe it. Decide today that if the government is going to put you in jail, punish you, fine you for being a Christian or believing in God, decide today, I'll take the punishment, I'll take the fine, you can even take my life, but I am not abandoning the truth of God's word for a lie that gives me safety. Hallelujah. Why is truth such a big deal to God? Well, it's a big deal because God doesn't like anyone taking a seat on his throne. Let me say this to you with love. Get your hiney out of God's chair. Well, this is why God don't like judgment. You notice when you read about Jesus in the world, he came across sinners every day, right? And you can put them into two groups. There were the ones he was very compassionate to. And he would say, neither do I condemn you. Your sins have been forgiven. Rise and walk. Take up your mat and walk. He was so compassionate to. There was another group of sinners that he was very hard on. And he said things like, you're such a brood of vipers. Who's going to save you from the wrath of God? You're like a whitewashed tomb. You look good on the outside, but inside you're full of dead men's bones. Now, who is that second group that he was hard on? It was the religious judgmental. You know why? Because when you judge people, you put your butt in God's seat and you started doing what he has declared only I get to do. Come on. When you start condemning others, that's why he told the people who caught the woman in the act of adultery, listen, if you are without sin and you're like God, then you throw the first stone. And they all had to drop their stones and walk away. God doesn't like it when we do things that only he can do, which is why he doesn't want us declaring truth, which is why God hates lying so much. He hates lying so much because sometimes to us we have what's called white lies and we don't think it's a big deal, but it's a big deal to God. You know why? Because when we tell a lie, what we're doing is we're climbing up on God's throne. We're saying, I'm God. I'm going to declare how things are. I'm going to speak a reality into existence. Come on. And we're competing with God. We're removing God. Well, I want you to get this today. God is God. He speaks and it becomes truth. It becomes the reality in which all of our created lives and all creation lives. Where does this come from, this wanting to speak our own reality, declare our own truth? It comes from the original one, Satan. Satan was an angel, Lucifer, made perfect in the image of God. And the Bible says he thought to himself, I will exalt myself above God. In other words, I'll climb up there and I'll be God. You see where we're getting it from? And then what did he do? He began to tell lies. God spoke reality, truth into existence. Satan climbed up on what he thought would be his throne and he began to speak lies into existence. God spoke truth and life. Satan spoke lies and darkness. And today many people in the world are living in darkness, which is why Jesus came to flip the switch and turn the light on and say, look, God didn't make it the way the world says. God made it the way the word says. This is where life is. This is where truth is. But many people are going to lose their faith because they get caught into believing the lie. They get caught into the idea, the selfishness that I can make my own reality. I can decide how things are going to be. We can make life whatever we want it to be. Isn't that the message of the world today? We can make this world whatever we want it to be. No, I'm sorry, you can't. Because God declares truth. You can live in a lie, you can live in darkness, or you can live in the truth of what God's word says. Hallelujah. God will not be taken off of his throne. Make no mistake about it. He will come down hard on those who have tried to exalt themselves above him and speak their own truth. Let me read Romans 1, 18 through 25. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which is from God is known about God is evident within them. In other words, the reality is within us. The truth of God is in us through conviction. It comes within us. For God has made it evident to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power, and his divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. For even though they knew God, they knew the truth, they knew there was a God. There's been times where in their spirit the light was turned on and they knew the truth of God. They knew God, but they did not honor him as God or give him thanks. They became futile in their speculations and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, oh, we're so smart these days, we're so wise, we're beyond religion. That's for those dum-dums in the past who didn't know anything. They became wise, they became fools. And exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man. In other words, God is not our God anymore. I'm God now. Since I killed God, I don't believe in him anymore. I get to be God. I get to declare truth. I get to declare what's right and wrong. And exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for the image of a man and of birds and of four-footed animals and crawling creatures. Therefore, God gave them over in the lust of their hearts to impurity so that their bodies would be dishonored among them. For they exchanged, watch this, for they exchanged the truth of God for a lie. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie. And they worshiped and served the creature rather than the creator. Oh, if I could tell you the truth today, that's where we're living today. This is setting up the world for the Antichrist. The Antichrist basically is the opposite of Christ, right? Instead of it being God's word and God's truth, it's Satan's word, it's Satan's truth. Instead of it being God's morality, it's Satan's morality. One is light, one is darkness. And there are many people today who are abandoning truth and the word of God, and they're exchanging it for the lie. Listen, I'm not here to tell you there's not pleasure in the darkness. That's why people go to Vegas. And they say things like, well, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas, right? What happens in the darkness stays. You can go to Vegas and do whatever you want. Have a time, have a party. No one ever needs to know. We're not going to tell because there's fun in the darkness. But you know, the Bible says sin has a pleasure for a season. But it's like getting your first taste of crack cocaine or something. It may bring you high, but it's starting to poison you and suck you in and draw you down. I'm here to tell you today, you can walk in the darkness and find some pleasure that'll satisfy the flesh, but in the end, it's not good. I want to encourage you today, while everybody else is abandoning their faith, stand firm. Paul said, I have fought the fight. I have kept the faith. I'm here to tell you and declare I will not abandon my faith in God. I will not abandon my faith in His word. I will know His truth to the best of my ability. I will declare His truth. I will walk in His truth. If you're with me today, I want you to stand to your feet. Let's make a declaration today that I am living in the truth of God's word. I'm not abandoning the word of God. I'm not abandoning the truth that God has declared. And though every man can be a liar and be going in the wrong direction, I'm going to stand firm and I'm going to plant my feet in the direction that God wants me to go. I'm living in the truth. I'm declaring the truth. I will not abandon my faith. Come on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus.